Imagine our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in descending into darkness. You rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father.
If you were with us last week, we read through this chapter in its entirety and began a study on it that will not, I don't believe, conclude today either. So I trust that you'll be with us again next week, if at all possible, where I believe we'll conclude a brief study of Isaiah 53. For the context of our passage today, our message today, I'd like to read just verses 1 through 3 of Isaiah chapter 53. Hear now the word of the Lord. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, eternally settled in the heavens. And Lord, as we dig into it today, it is necessary, Lord, that you should hide your servant behind the cross. For the things of God come only from you. And so, Lord, move about by means of your Holy Spirit to reveal these truths to us, so that both the one speaking and those hearing would know that this comes from you. And so, Lord, we commit this message to you. We ask, Lord, that you would bring about great, great things through it. As we pray these things in Jesus' precious name, amen. Just, I think, yesterday, I came across a little article online. I don't subscribe to newspapers, and we have no television, so my phone is my connection with the news world. Anyway, this was a special interest story, and I found it rather interesting. It takes place in northern Great Britain, near the Herodian Wall, where excavators have discovered 25 Roman letters. These are pieces of wood about the size of a postcard, just a couple millimeters thick, and they're written on with ink, black ink. And they discovered in these a number of different things. They date them back to 85 to 92 A.D. A gentleman who they think was probably a centurion by the name of Masculus is mentioned a number of times there. And they were excavated through this archaeological dig, the remains of a Roman fort, Vindolanda, something to that nature. Anyway, and I was reading that article and I was thinking about how exciting that would be to find these ancient letters and to dig them up out of the ground. They were under 3 feet of sod, and they dig them up then and read them. And then the article went on to say how that they have to be very, very careful, because any artifact like that, when you bring it out and it becomes oxygenated, when it gets in contact with the air, it begins to fall apart. And so they were describing the process, and I didn't understand any of it, so I'm not even going to try to help you with that. But anyway, they were very, very careful with it that they would not disintegrate, because the passing of them would be that they would become not legible any longer. Well, Jesus said of his word in Matthew 24 and 35, even if heaven and earth shall pass away, his word will not. Then we don't have to worry about that. But the question today is, as we pick up his word today and we read it again, do we have the same kind of excitement in our minds that we are picking up the eternal word of God preserved for us for how many centuries? And you're reading it today. Do you have that kind of excitement about God's word? You see, I do, and I thank the Lord for that, because there was a day in my life when I didn't have that hunger and that thirst for his word. There was a day in my life when I did not consider the magnitude of what God has done. But as I grow in my understanding of the tremendous thing that God has done in giving us this Bible, I have come to this thing of doing exactly what these archaeologists are doing. I'm taking great care in how I preserve it. Not that it won't be preserved for all of eternity, but rather, how is it being preserved in my heart and in my mind? How is it that it is being written upon my heart so that it is not only legible to me, but that I might share it so that it'll be legible to someone else? You see. And so when I study God's word, I find that I move ever slower and dig ever deeper to find the jewels that lie within there. I was reminded last week that I moved too quickly, for I had a message prepared, but the Lord said, not so fast. We've got to deal with something here first before we can go to that message. It isn't that the message is wrong, it's just that the timing, my timing, was far too fast. We talked about last week that this passage now, written by Isaiah some 700 years before the birth of Christ, is a prophetic passage. It speaks very clearly about Jesus. And yet, it seems to speak in retrospect from someone. that they looked back and they saw, well, you see, we thought that this, and yet we have found all of these truths finally, that he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities, and the truth of Christ Jesus had come to them at some point in time, and they write this in retrospect back to that which they did not understand when he came. Now, I think it's speaking largely of the Jewish people. But the reality is this should speak to us as well. And it does. There is a day when you did not consider Christ Jesus. But because the glorious light of the gospel has shined in your heart, you began to write this story on your own heart that Jesus Christ came to save me, that he was bruised for me, that it was my transgressions that were placed upon him, that it pleased the Father to bruise him on my behalf. And you begin to own the gospel as your own. And so the clarion call from God last week was, is this your God? Do you claim the Lord Jesus Christ as your own? Do you believe, as was just sung to you, in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Well, there's coming a day, my friends. And in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul would write about it. If we begin with verse 6, for example, speaking of Jesus here, Paul writes, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There is coming a day. There is coming a day when every knee is going to bow and confess. Some will be made to bow. Others will willingly bow today. And that really is the question, isn't it? And that really is where we have to start, is to ask that question. Have you bowed before the Lord Jesus Christ? Confessed that you're a sinner. Welcomed him in as your Savior and surrendered your life to him as your Lord. And so that was the message last week. Something interesting is taking place here in these first three verses, however, in Isaiah 53. He says, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, the arm of the Lord is Christ Jesus. He is the power of God unto salvation. It is when Scripture speaks of the arm of the Lord, it's speaking about this portion right here, the strength of the arm. It is the might of God. It is that which man cannot do. God has reached down into this world, and it is God who has drug us up out of a pit of miry clay and saved our wretched souls. It is this working of God in Christ Jesus that saves. And that has been revealed. And all have known this, the power of God in Christ Jesus. For it is only by his name can a man be saved. But you see, Isaiah writes something here. He says, but who has believed our report? It is not simply and magnificently that the arm of the Lord has been revealed, but he ties together with that, but who has believed our report? And anybody who has been saved by the power of Jesus Christ and has gone out to share that gospel at some point in time has come to ask themselves this question. Haven't you asked that question? If you've been about evangelism, if you've been about sharing this precious story of God, and you're talking about the power of Jesus Christ to save, and doesn't it at times seem to fall on deaf ears? And you wonder if, who's heard our report? And as I've been looking over this, the word that just popped off the page one day to me was, our. My report. Do you have a report? Are you sharing the story of Jesus Christ? The power of God unto salvation. You see, the first step is to be saved. You've got to be in the ark. And the second step is that you open up and you begin to share with others and share this report of all this that Isaiah says your God has done for you, he will do for others. Turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would. And Paul will write about this very clearly, that this is who we are to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Many of these verses will be familiar to you, so we're going to read rather quickly, but I would that you would take notes and you'd go back and you would consider them again at another time. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." You see? "We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That God has called each and every one unto this ministry of reconciliation, being reconciled to him through Christ Jesus. Well, Paul certainly understood this, and so if you turn to Romans chapter 10, he now is going to share the very same thoughts that Isaiah shared in "Who Has Heard Our Report?" And if you go to Romans chapter 10, and you begin with verse 9, and thank you for turning the pages of your Bibles. You're a great encouragement this morning. Romans 10, verse 9, "That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." This is a universal gospel message that Paul was preaching. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You see, this is the way the gospel goes forward. But then verse 16 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report?" You see, Paul is articulating the very same thing that Isaiah would articulate. If you turn to Matthew chapter 5, if you don't believe the writings in the New Testament, that this is your calling to be sharing the gospel, then we turn to the author of all things, and we turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we read verses 13 through 16. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We teach it to our children. The question today is, do we know it for ourselves? Our report, my report, do I have a testimony? Do I have a witness? Am I about my Father's business? Am I salt and light in this world? Does the world see my life, my conversation, my good works, and do they come to glorify God the Father in heaven because of it? John chapter 12, 32 through 38. Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from earth, will draw all men unto me." You sang that in a chorus today. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. And how do you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overcome you. For he that walketh in darkness knows not whither he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." These things spoke Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Throughout Scripture, our call is to be about sharing the gospel. Our call is to be witnesses for the saving power of Jesus Christ. Our calling is to be evangelical in a world that desperately needs it. And if you have taken seriously the words of Isaiah 53, verses 4 through the conclusion of the chapter, the truth, the reality of what Jesus has done on your behalf, then you must take seriously your responsibility to bear a report in the furtherance of the kingdom. Are you doing that? Are you sharing that? Is there room at the cross for your neighbor? Is there room at the cross for your family? Is there room at the cross for your enemies? Is there room at the cross for more than you? Isaiah says, "Who has heard our report?" Which indicates that he was reporting, as was Paul, as was Jesus, showing it with power and sign. And yet, many did not believe. You know that passage in chapter John is interesting, and I want to leave you with just a couple thoughts to be thinking about as we go into a third and, I believe, final message on this passage of Scripture. And the first thought would be this. Jesus said, "If I be lifted, I will draw all men unto me." And then we close that, and I bookended it that way so that we would understand that not all believed. And I want you to understand this truth. Being drawn and believing are two separate things. It is true. When Jesus was lifted up, he has drawn all men unto himself. But till this day, many do not believe. You see, James talked about it, didn't he, when he said, and he wasn't confronting anything that Paul was saying. He was actually confirming the things that Paul was saying when he was saying, and it is by faith alone, not works, when James says faith without works is dead. And what he was saying is the exact same thing we should understand about what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. It is not just simply to be drawn to him. It's not to find him alluring. It's not to find him attracting. It's not to find him different. The reality is Jesus Christ was lifted up to draw us to him so that we might believe in him, and believing with no change is the same thing as faith with no works. Believing must bring about a radical change in your life. And the radical change that is brought about is newness, a new creature in Christ, and a desire to be the light and the salt and to be about sharing that good news that is so good. Words escape us. Do you have a desire, if you've taken seriously what God has done for you in Christ Jesus, then do you have a desire to share that with others? For all of us should have a report. It is not enough to be drawn to the cross. A person must believe. And secondly, and this is what I would like for you to ponder until our next meeting, by what means, by what means are people drawn to the cross? By what means has God designed that people are drawn to the cross? And along with that, since we are to be about our Father's business, do they see that means demonstrated in me? By what means has God designed that people are drawn, and is that evident in my life? And to help you with that, turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, in light of Isaiah 53, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 12, 27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular." There is something to be learned in how God draws people to the cross in Christ Jesus that must be evident in our lives if the gospel is to be effective in changing people's lives. Are you frustrated? Are you frustrated that you're sharing and no one's coming to Christ? Perhaps. Perhaps the mode of our sharing is not God's mode of drawing. We'll consider that next week. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. For we recognize, Lord, that we are unprofitable servants. And yet, Lord, somehow you have placed this good news in earthen vessels like each one of us. You have given us this message. We have heard and believe, therefore we speak. We are to be about sharing the good news. Beautiful the feet that carry that good news. And so, Lord, as you have called us to be salt and light, as you have called us to be your body, and we recognize, Lord, that we are that, we would, Lord, that you would equip us with everything that is necessary, that this might be effective in winning souls for Christ. We understand, Lord, clearly today that salvation is your job, your work, for only you are the arm of the Lord. But we also recognize, Lord, that you have called us to be a part of it. And so, Lord, we want to be good stewards of that. We want to be effective for you and for your glory. And so, Lord, as we consider these thoughts going into this next week, how is it that you draw to the cross, and how is it that you would have us to be a part of that? Lord, we would that you would, through your Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and our minds. And so, Lord, we commit this to you as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a perfect hymn to close with today. As you take your hymnals, please.